Item N, another action item.
Okay. I'm going to, if you walk me through this very carefully, this is a rather confusing item. So if you, as you have questions, please feel free to ask them. So item M relates to benefits funding from the 12-13 and 13-14 fiscal years. So it relates to increases in trial court benefit and retirement costs that occurred in those fiscal years, which totaled $42.8 million, was funded for us, but $22 million was withheld. And so Director Hishino mentioned this morning. So back in 12-13 and 13-14, this is an item N, there was a rather, what's the total, $66 million increase in benefits costs for the trial courts. In last year's Budget Act, roughly $40 million was provided for that funding and $20 million was withheld. That withholding of money was related to the estimate of trial court's expenditures related to the employee share, or the employer, the trial court's contribution towards the employee share of retirement. And what happened last year, because as Mr. Felstein just mentioned, that came very late in the May revise, was a reduction of $20 million. What occurred last year was a one-time decision on how to allocate that $20 million lack of funding. So this is where this gets a little confusing for me to report to you and to follow along. There was a $60 million increase in costs. There was a $40 million allocation. And so then the decision last year was how to allocate the $20 million lack of allocation to the trial courts. I'm sorry, difficult to decide how to phrase that statement. That information came to all of us very late. It came in the May revise. And so the decision that was made last year that was recommended to you and the council adopted was to allocate that lack of funding for 1 year. And to do so in a way that did not penalize any court, but instead all courts shared in that lack of funding of $20 million. And so that was shared by all courts as a pro rata of their share of the 60-some-odd million dollars of increases in retiree benefits and health benefits. Going forward into this year, trial courts have made a significant change in paying towards the employee share of retirement. And again, not all courts did last year, and not all courts do this year. But many courts did change their handling of the employer-paid employee contribution towards retirement. And in recognition of that activity, the Budget Act does include over $13 million in restoration of that allocation or provision of that allocation. So the action item for you today is how to allocate that $13 million in additional funding. What is outlined in your materials are the discussions that occurred at the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee over multiple meetings to come to a final resolution recommendation for you. What I'd like to do is to focus on the options in a general way because there are some great details that go into the option that was ultimately selected. I'm not going to go into the various iterations of that because it gets very, very confusing, but instead I want to touch on the overall ideas that were considered. This is located on page 9 of the materials. The Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee considered one, to allocate 100% of that $13 million pro rata to all courts, similar to how the reduction was handled. So each court would receive their share of that $13 million regardless of whether or not they pay or continue to pay a portion of the employee's share of retirement. Option B was to provide 100% only to those courts that provide no amount towards the employee's share of retirement, so the opposite. Option three, which a version of which is what we will ultimately recommend to you today, was to split that so that 50% of that return would go to pro rata to all courts based on their share of the benefit increases, and 50% would only go to the would go to those courts that do not pay towards the employee share of retirement, which is a slight change to that, which I'll go into the details of. And the fourth version was to divide that instead 75% pro rata and 25% only to those courts that don't pay towards their share of retirement. So those are the four general options that were considered. What is being recommended to you today is a version of three, which is a 50-50 split. So let me make sure I read the language specifically to you.
Which category is that? E?
It's actually a subset of three. So I will read you the actual recommendation. Okay. So the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee is recommending that 50% of the allocation of restored benefits be provided to all trial courts, or roughly $6.6 million. The additional 50% would be prorated to the following. Any court that does not pay towards the employee share of retirement in 15-16, courts where there is only 10% or less is being paid towards the employee share of retirement as attributable to their cost increases. So that's a little confusing, but let's say a court pays $1,000 in employee share of retirement and their cost increases were $100 million, then that court would be eligible because the amount that they are paying towards employee share of retirement is a very small percentage on their total cost increase. Three, courts in which the employee paid portion of the employee share of retirement has been reduced in fiscal year 14-15 by at least 30%. So those courts that are making very large changes to their employer-paid employee contribution but have not eliminated it entirely.
And that's because in some cases they negotiated them in phases, and so there might have been substantial progress but not a complete progress in a particular year. So they wanted to get credit for that work.
And any court would be included in that allocation as long as they met those defined criteria on May 14th of 2015. Continuing on, courts that do not pay towards the employee share of costs for retirement, or courts that fall into those two categories of 10% or less than cost increases, and courts that have reduced the employee share by 30%. This basically means that they've received roughly 90% of their benefit cost increases from 12-13 to 13-14, while those that don't fall into that category would receive about 70% of their cost increases from 12-13 to 13-14.
And that's in contrast to last year where everybody got 66%. So everybody shared equally. Now, by treating the two groups slightly differently, you get some going closer to getting full funding and those sort of moving towards the partial funding that the revenues would provide for them. But it's incremental again from last year's movement, this year's movement.
And that 50-50 allocation methodology would be only for the coming fiscal year, only for 15-16. Beginning in 16-17, what would occur is that those courts that continue to pay towards their employee share of retirement would, this is going to be very difficult to explain, they would essentially not receive that amount of money that they are paying towards the employee share of retirement under the premise that that amount of money would continue to be withheld from the augments that we're receiving to pay for those cost increases. So let me see if I can give an example. So let's assume that we have $100,000 next year that remains means withheld from these cost increases. And that $100,000 is attributable to a court, Court A, because that court continues to pay $50,000 towards the employee share of retirement. Well, that court would then bear that $50,000, what may be reduction for them, depending on how their cost increases occurred, so that all the rest of the courts who are not paying towards the employee share of retirement would no longer be receiving a reduction to their costing, the allocation for their cost increase. So as Lacko's example, last year it was 66% last year were all funded. This year, those courts that aren't paying any share around 90%, those that are 78%, what is being recommended is that come 16-17, those that are not paying towards the employee share would have 100% of those benefit cost increases funded, and those courts that are continuing to pay would not receive the funding attributable to that, that expenditure. So again, the intent here is to provide time for courts to adjust. This is an item to deal with. Each court needs to deal with this. With their employees and their unions. Each court needs to make an individual decision. I would note that the Public Employees Pension Reform Act of 2013 does not prohibit the payment of the employee share of retirement for classic members, but this was certainly a policy that was articulated by the governor through a funding allocation, and courts are making significant changes in how they handle that situation.
Thank you, Judge So.
So this is to encourage the courts to get in line, essentially, with what the governor is suggesting.
Well, the governor's commitment to return that amount is encouragement because we're getting $13 million back. The methodology of allocating the money is a way to not disadvantage those courts who have made progress or are making progress.
All right. I'd move approval.
Second by Jim Fox. Any further discussion, show of hands, comments, or observations?
I would only, just to clarify, I would only ask what you've outlined, although a little bit confusing, I've pretty much followed it, seems fair and appropriate, and it's much better that we do this than it be done to us. But what's the alternative?
The other alternatives that were laid out here, you could allocate all of the funds.
What's the next best alternative?
I don't think I could say what the next best alternative is.
Fair enough.
I see no further hands raised for comments or suggestions. I think Mr. Hoshino just whispered in my ear, well, it'll be the law in 2018. Thank you, Mr. Hoshino. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. Thank you, Jake Chatters. Let me say we are looking forward to you joining Judicial Council in September. Thank you, Zlatko, also for all of the work you continue to do. And the way that you can unpack this for us is very, very helpful. Thank you.